Pastor Greg Laurie says God sometimes uses unlikely candidates to do some of his most important work.
God's looking right now for someone to use. He's looking for someone that he can place his hand on that's willing to step away from the fickle multitudes and the half-hearted followers and be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you be such a person? You say, oh, I'm not qualified. God goes out of his way to do extraordinary things with ordinary people.
This is A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie, author of the new book, Lost Boy. You know, to build a beautiful home, it takes a lot of pretty plain-looking tools. Well, God has some work that needs to be done within his kingdom, and sometimes he uses plain old everyday believers like you and me. In fact, today, Pastor Greg points out God sometimes prefers using those who may think they have little to offer. Let's listen as Pastor Greg presents another of the greatest stories ever told.
It was 1256 B.C. Approximately 200 years have passed since Joshua led the Israelites on their famous march around the walls of Jericho. By God's power, those walls had fallen, and they had conquered many of the inhabitants of Canaan, including the Amorites, the Hittites, the Ammonites, and the Jebusites. But the problem is they did not finish the job. God told Israel to drive all the inhabitants of the land out, but they did not do it. And so now, 200 years later, the Midianites, inhabitants of Canaan, have come to hunt Israel. Their army was gigantic, way outnumbering the army of Israel. And they also were the first to domesticate the camel, which they used in warfare. They're ornery creatures, and they're menacing looking, and imagine the Midianites swooping down on the Israel, riding these camels. Here's what would happen. The Jewish people would plant their crops, and it was almost harvest time. And on cue, the Midianites would come on their camels, tear out the crops, destroy them, and leave the Israelites with basically nothing. And this would happen year after year after year. And finally, Israel began to call on God and say, Lord, help us. Lord, we're starving. Lord, we're hurting. Lord, we need your help. And God brought an answer to them and decided to raise up one of the most unexpected people to lead them out of this defeat into victory. His name was Gideon, and this is his story. And truly, it is one of the greatest stories ever told. Judges 6, starting in verse 12. The angel of the Lord appeared to him, this would be Gideon, and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon said to him, "O Lord, if the Lord is with us, then why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and has delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours, and you will save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" Gideon feels unworthy. He doesn't think he's the guy that should be chosen. God says, "You are the guy." So Gideon says, "Well, Lord, you're going to have to help me here. I'm not sure if I can believe this." And so he asks for a little miracle, a little confirmation. The Lord gives it to him. And so he's feeling relatively reassured that he should go on with this. And the Lord says, "Now, before we go on to the next phase, I have a little test for you, Gideon. You know your father who worships the false god Baal? I want you to go tear down that altar. I want you to chop up all the wood. Then I want you to take the second strongest calf in his herd, and I want you to have a barbecue on the altar." So Gideon goes out in obedience to God. He slays this second bull in his father's flock. He has this barbecue, and the people in the town tell his dad the next morning when it's discovered, "You ought to put your son to death." Instead of putting the son to death, the father was moved by what he did. He said, "Hey, can't Baal take care of himself?" And it seemed as though his own faith was re-energized by the stand that Gideon had made. So this made Gideon a little bolder. And you know, I've discovered God will lead me one step at a time. Because he uses you in this situation, you say, well, that went pretty well. I'm kind of open for another one now. And he uses you in maybe a more challenging situation than a more difficult one. And so Gideon was faithful in those little things. And I ask you, are you being faithful in those little things? Because now it was time to rumble with the Midianites. Their army was well over 100,000 trained soldiers with their crazy camels. Gideon was able to rally about 32,000 Israelites to fight them, which is pretty impressive. They were greatly outnumbered, but still, at least they had an army. He was calling them together, and then the Lord comes to him in Judges 7 in verse 2 and says this. The Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Listen, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. This must have shocked Gideon. I mean, already over 130,000 Midianites. He's got 32,000 men. Men, if you're fearful and afraid, go home to mommy. 22,000 guys say, okay, Gid, God bless. We'll be praying for you. See you at your funeral service, you idiot. And off they went. So there's Gideon now with 10,000 men facing over 130,000 Midianites. Why does God do stuff like this? Because he wants to get the glory for the work he does. Sometimes the Lord will let things stack up in such a way that there is no way out but him. So he will get the glory. And I love the prayer of King Jehoshaphat, who was facing huge odds as an enemy army approached. He prayed in 2 Chronicles 20:12, oh God, won't you stop them? We're powerless against this mighty army that's about to attack us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Or literally, we are looking to you for help. Are you in a situation like that right now? Man, the odds are, everything's stacked up against you, and there's no way you can face it, and you don't have a backup plan, and you don't have a safety net, and you don't have anything but God. That's a good place to be. Because God specializes in taking situations like this and turning them around for his glory. Why did God want the fearful men to go home? Because fear is contagious. If you don't want to be a part of this, if you're a lightweight, go on home. We don't want you in the army. So Gideon was thinking, okay, all right, 10,000 men. It's radical, crazy, but, you know, we'll be able to do it. And then God comes to him with another test. This is Judges 7, reading from verse 4. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation to verse 7. The Lord told Gideon, there are still too many. Bring them down to the spring and I'll sort out who will go in with you and who will not. When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told them, divide the men into two groups. And one group put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongue like dogs. And the other group put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream. Only 300 of the men drank with their hands, and the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. And the Lord told Gideon, with these 300 men I will rescue and give you victory over the Midianites. Send the others home. Can you imagine when God said, one more test? Are you serious? This is a joke, right? You're joking? You're not joking. There's still too many. But interestingly, this was a secret test. This test revealed the attitude of the Israelites toward the enemy. There were two groups, the lazy lappers and the careful cuppers. The lazy lappers, they just got down to that stream and drank like a dog would drink from its dish. God says, I don't want them. But then there were 300 out of 10,000 that went down to the stream. They were as thirsty as the others. They got down on one knee. And they just took the water up in their hand cup, they'd take a drink, and they just kept looking around. They were waiting, take another drink, look around. God says, those are the ones. Those are the ones I'm going to use to deliver you. So now Gideon is down to 3% of his original 10,000. He's down to the cream of the crop, the Delta Force, the SEALs, the Green Berets, the SWAT team. Then God gave Gideon the battle plan. It's almost comical. Okay, here's the plan, Gideon. You've got 300 men. Here's what you're going to do. Divide them into groups of 100. Three groups. And in one hand, they're to take a torch with fire burning on it. Put a clay pot around it. And the other hand, yeah, a big gnarly sword. No, a trumpet. And the other hand, a trumpet. And at nighttime, the three groups of men are going to charge the Midianite camp, yelling, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Then break that little earthen clay off of that torch, hold it up, and blow on your trumpet. That's it. So that's how we're all going to die, huh? Just do it. You watch. So sure enough, Gideon got the guys together, gave them the plan. These were the ones that really had been willing to give everything up, even their own lives potentially. They charge the Midianites. They shout out a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. They blow their trumpets. Meanwhile, the Midianite camp, they were already living in fear and paranoia. And they hear this sound and they go into a panic and they start killing each other. An amazing military victory. So what does a story like this have to say to us today? Well, we too are in a spiritual battle. Ephesians 6:12 says we're not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of darkness who rule the world, against wicked spirits and the supernatural realm. This battle that we are in, folks, will not be won by clever strategies or plans. There's no way you're going to see that unsaved family member come to Christ without his help. There's no way that failing marriage can be saved. You're like Gideon looking at that vast Midianite army that is oppressing you. You're like Jehoshaphat standing with the women and the children as the enemy attacks. So we call on God and we basically say, "God, if you don't come through, we're dead in the water. We have no other hope but you." And the Lord likes odds like this, as I already said. So God's looking right now for someone to use, like a Gideon, like a Deborah, who was also a judge of Israel. He's looking for someone that he could place his hand on that's willing to go to the next level. Someone that's willing to step away from the fickle multitudes and the half-hearted followers and be a genuine disciple of Jesus Christ. Would you be such a person? You say, "Oh, I'm not qualified." As I said, God goes out of his way to do extraordinary things with ordinary people. Listen to these words of the Apostle Paul in that regard from the Message translation. "Take a good look, friends, at who you were when you were called into this life. I don't see many of the brightest and best among you. Not many influential, not from many high society families. Isn't it obvious that God deliberately chose men and women that the culture overlooks? God chose these nobodies to expose the hollow pretensions of the somebodies. That makes it quite clear that none of you can get by blowing your own horn before God. Everything that we have, right thinking, right living, a clean slate, and a fresh start, comes from God by way of Jesus Christ. That's why we have the saying, 'If you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God.'" I like that translation. Don't blow your own horn. Blow a trumpet for God. You say, "I don't know what you're talking about." This is what Gideon did. Would you be willing to blow a trumpet for God? And by that I mean, would you be willing to be a person that would let your light shine in a dark place? To stand up and say, "Lord, use me." Start with your home. Start with your own family. Have you done that? Do your parents, your grandparents know you're a Christian? Do your children know? Do your grandkids know? Do your cousins know? Have you taken the stand in your own home? And folks, then there are our marriages. What right do we have to tell this lost world that they need to get right with God if we can't even keep our marriages together in the church? Granted, marriage is filled with hardship and challenge, but you need to take that word divorce and strike it from your vocabulary. Wedlock is a padlock. And if you don't want to do it that way, then stay single. My wife has never, ever considered divorcing me. Murdering me, yes. Divorcing me, no. Nor I her. Murder or divorce. It's hard to be a Christian in today's culture. But here's what I'm thinking. If we're going to do this, let's do this. Let's not be like the 22,000 that turn away, fearful and afraid. Well, I didn't know the Christian life was going to be hard. I didn't know there had to be sacrifices. I didn't need it. Just get out of here. You didn't read your Bible. God is saying, look, I'm calling you to follow me, to step out from the fair weather followers, from the fickle multitudes. When our Lord walked this earth on one occasion in John chapter 6, after he performed his most popular miracle, the feeding of the 5,000 plus women and children, he saw that the crowds were big, not because they really understood who he was and wanted to follow him, because, man, there was free lunch with Jesus. So he gave them some challenging statements about commitment and dedication, and most of them left that day. They turned away, and in effect, the Lord intentionally thinned out the multitudes. Why? Because God can do more with 300 committed people than with 10,000 who are half-hearted. God is looking for faithful, obedient, watchful servants to change this world. He's looking for men and women who will love him more than anyone or anything else. John Wesley once said, and I quote, "Give me 100 men who love God with all of their hearts and fear nothing but sin, and I will move the world." I think it's still true today. Yes, this world is upside down, and only we can turn it right side up. I love the description of the ministry of Paul and Silas in the book of Acts when it says, they turn the rest of the world upside down and they're disturbing our city. Oh, may God help us to disturb our cities. Disturb your family, disturb your neighborhood, not in an obnoxious way, not in an irritating way or in an unnecessarily offensive way, but in a godly way where they see your life has changed and they want to be like you because you are like him. It's time to step out from the half-hearted, fickle multitudes and be a true follower of Jesus Christ. And I ask you, are you that right now? And if not, would you like to become one? We're going to close in prayer, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to make a commitment. I'm going to ask you to respond to a different kind of invitation I'm going to give this morning. Let's all bow our heads for a prayer. Father, now as you look out at this group, I pray and I hope that you see committed followers. But maybe there are some that are not that. They're just here for whatever reason. We're glad they're here, but Lord, you really want them to know you and follow you and discover your plan for their lives, because these are the kind of people you'll change the world with. And I pray now for any here that need to make this commitment, help them to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.
In just a moment, Pastor Greg Laurie will give you a chance to make a commitment to the Lord. If you've never come to Christ for forgiveness, that's your time. But also, if you'd like to step up and serve the Lord at a higher level, Pastor Greg will pray with you as well. So please do stay with us. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, the title to mention is A Lot with a Little. We'll tell you how to get it as soon as you get in touch. Now, boy, this is a busy week for us here at A New Beginning. Pastor Greg's brand new book has just been released. It's an autobiography called Lost Boy. It's the first time Pastor Greg has ever told his story with this kind of depth and candor. You may have heard him mention before his mother was married and divorced 7 times. But the seriousness of the upheaval he faced in his childhood, he's never told us many details, even those of us working closely with him behind the scenes. Well, in Lost Boy, he paints the full picture of the way he was neglected and forgotten as a kid. He was bounced from pillar to post with different men he was expected to call dad and the boyfriends in between, moving from California to New Jersey to Hawaii, back to California, to different relatives' homes, to military school, and his mom often leaving him to fend for himself. He brings you face to face with the stark drama of his early life, and even some powerful moments from later on.
I'm a new father. I've got a brand new life. My wife is sweet, she's beautiful, we're young, and we have big dreams, and our son, he's a toddler. I've never had a dad, so I want to protect this little boy in ways I was never protected. I can't believe how great it is to carry little Christopher around on my shoulders, to tickle him and hear him laugh. His nickname is Topher. He has shining blonde hair and bright brown eyes, and he's curious and into everything. So one day I'm distracted for a moment while Christopher's playing on the floor in our bedroom. There's a narrow, heavy, full-length mirror leaning against the wall. I have no idea why we left that mirror leaning against the wall in that way, but I look up just in time to see little Christopher pulling the mirror toward himself, just in time to see it dropping on top of him. I scream and I run for my son. Broken shards of daggered glass are everywhere, and Christopher is covered in blood.
Well, that's an excerpt from the first chapter where he gives short vignettes from his life. The chapter is called Thumbnail Sketches. Snapshots from Greg's life as told in the book Lost Boy. Together with co-author Ellen Vaughn, he tells the riveting story of how God took this little lost boy and redeemed his life, not only helping him to recover from the challenges of his childhood, but actually using that background to equip him to be used today. That's something God wants to do in each of us, and that's Pastor Greg's prayer for this book, that we would overcome the pain of our past and be useful in the Master's hands. Well, we'd be glad to send you this book to thank you for your gift of any size in support of the work we do here on A New Beginning. So please get in touch today with your contribution, and then be sure to ask for Lost Boy. Our phone number is 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Now, if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with God today, let Pastor Greg lead you now in a word of prayer.
If God has spoken to your heart today, and you would recognize that maybe you are not the committed Christian you ought to be, you've kind of been playing some games, you've been sort of on the fence, you're just here, you're going along for the ride, but you're realizing, no, this is not the way this life is to be lived. I want to totally dedicate and commit my life to Jesus Christ from this moment forward. And I would say to the Lord, I'll blow a trumpet for you. I'll shine my light for you. I'll go where you call me to go. Pray this prayer out loud after me. Lord Jesus, I want to see my world changed. I pray you would change it through me. But it has to start in my own life, in my own family, in my own sphere of influence. So I am dedicating myself to you. I want to be a faithful follower. I want to be an alert, dedicated disciple. I want to turn my world upside down. So use me, I pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.
And listen, if you have just prayed that prayer with Pastor Greg, please let us know. That would be such great encouragement to us. And if you're making a first-time commitment to the Lord today, be sure to ask for something called the New Believer's Growth Packet. It'll help you get started in living for the Lord. Our address again is A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. And then this quick program note, a special week of broadcasts here on A New Beginning next week.
Greg's mother Charlene was the most beautiful one in the bunch. Her beauty would take her anywhere.
She was willing to go way beyond the limits, and she was willing to take the consequences.
My mom lived a pretty crazy life and took me along for the ride.
A man beat her and almost killed her. It was his intention to kill her. And if Greg had not climbed out the bedroom window and gone to a neighbor, she would have been dead, I'm sure.
For the first time, Pastor Greg Laurie shares his own story.
You see, my childhood, it was as unstable and messed up as it could be.
It's a story of hope captured in the new book, Lost Boy.
So I'm going to share my story, the story of a lost boy, and I hope it ministers to you. I hope you can see that no matter what your circumstances are, God can intervene in your life as well.
Be listening for Pastor Greg's story on special editions of A New Beginning, June 2nd through the 6th. And you can find out more about Lost Boy, the book, and the upcoming programs at harvest.org. Next time, we'll see sin can blind us and bind us, just as it did with the Bible's famous strong man. An important caution next time, as Pastor Greg continues his series, The Greatest Stories Ever Told.